Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Praise the Lord. Okay. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. I'll wait for you because I want us to read it together. Okay. Ecclesiastes 12. I read from verse 1 of that chapter. Amen. Okay. It says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. Underline, in the days of your youth, underline before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. So it says, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a budding, and desire falls, for man goes to his eternal home. Underline that. Man goes to his eternal home. So all of that are just metaphors of old age and death. Do you get it? Okay. And the mourners go about the streets. And look at 6. It says, remember your Creator before, underline that, before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. And look at 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Underline that. From then towards. And the spirit. Now the spirit there is the breath of life. Follow that. The breath of life. And the breath of life will return to God who gave it. Okay. It says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Now, King Solomon is speaking here concerning the urgency, okay, the urgency of serving God while you still can. Okay, now there is one thing common to all men, and that is aging and death. Aging and death. All men will grow old and someday die. Okay, man was never made to be immortal in and of himself. Man was made to find life in God. Genesis chapter 2, you may turn your Bible there quickly. Genesis 2, we read from verse 16 of that same chapter. Genesis 2, 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay, so the trees which man was to choose from were the trees of life and that of good and evil. Look at Genesis 2:9 earlier on. It says, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. Now that word also here is not original to the Hebrew. Okay, so you may take it out. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. So do you get it? It says, out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life. Do you get it? Okay. Was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the trees being referred to were just two. Do you follow that? Just two. Did you spot that? Okay. So the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That word also there makes it seem like there were other trees, right? Aside this. Okay, but we've said on and on, if you've been with us in this church for a while, we've said that there were just two trees, amen? found in the garden. You may get that teaching, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is explained there. Okay, so you can take it out. That word also, okay, it's not original to the text. So just two trees are found in that garden. Okay, metaphorically, Moses uses these trees. So those trees will be metaphors, pictures, pictograms, pointing to something. Now these trees were said as significant, okay, of two things. One, man finding life either in God. Now that would be the tree of life. So the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, basically are two choices. Okay? Number one, man can find life either in God, now that would be the tree of life, or man can try to get life apart from God. Follow that? Now that would be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That would be pride and self-reliance. Now you see that in Genesis 3, 1-8, Adam and his wife Eve are tempted to do the latter. Okay? And notice the result of their sin. So they chose life apart from God, which is pride, self-reliance, and self-dependence apart from God. Okay, and notice the result of that action. Genesis 3 verse 19. Now I want you to see this, okay? Genesis 3 verse 19, it says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." You see that? Till you return to the ground. Underline that, okay? "For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to the dust you shall return." Underline that, from dust to return. Okay, so God made man to find life in him. Okay, but because man rejected that life, he finds death in his activities. Now you see that after Adam's sin in Genesis chapter 3, Moses keeps on using the phrase "and he died," okay, to show how death ravaged man. When you see Genesis chapter 5, you spot that there. That phrase appears about 8 times in Genesis chapter 5 alone. Okay, "and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died." Okay, so sin did something evil to man's body. Okay, it caused man to remain mortal. Okay, man wasn't created immortal. Do you follow that? Man was to trust on God to receive immortality. So sin made man, it causes man to remain mortal. Do you get it? That is subject to death. So man never got to taste eternal life. Okay? So since man rejected God's life, we see his life depreciate. Okay? Little by little, you find that the length of man's life reduced over time. And you find this in that Genesis 5 genealogy. Now follow this. Please turn your Bible to Genesis 5. I want us to do something together quickly. Okay? Genesis chapter 5. Now Adam lived 930 years. Genesis 5, 5. Okay? Let's read that. It says, "So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died." You see that? 930. Now his son Seth lived 912 years. 912 years. Genesis 5 verse 8. It says, "So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died." You see that? Now Seth's son Enosh lived to 905 years. Genesis 5 verse 11. "So all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died." Now what do you notice? Do you notice the years are reducing? Right? Decreasing. Then interestingly, it increases with Canaan. Enosh's son Canaan lived to 910 years. Genesis 5 verse 14. It says, "So all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died." You see that? Now Mahalalel, Canaan's son, lived to 895 years. 895 years. Genesis 5 verse 17. It says, "So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died." Do you notice again the reduction in years? Okay. Then in Jared, the years are back up again. Genesis 5 verse 20. It says, "So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died." So he lived to 962 years. Now Enoch lives to 365 years. 365 years. A drastic decline. Genesis 5 verse 23. Genesis 5 verse 23. It says, "So all the days of Enoch were 365 years." Then you have Methuselah, who lived till 969 years. Even longer than Adam. Genesis 5 verse 27. It says, "So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Then you have Lamech, his son. Okay, his son lives to 777 years. 777 years, okay? Genesis 5, verse 31. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. So you will notice that the years fluctuate, right? Right? They reduce from Adam to Enosh. Then they increase with Canaan by just 5 years. Then the years decline again with Mahalalel. Okay, it increases with Jared, it declines with Enoch, right? Increases with Methuselah, declines with Lamech. So one thing is clear from this genealogy: life expectancy was not certain. Do you follow that? It wasn't certain. Sometimes people live long lives, right? Other times they lived shorter lives. Now you see that the number of years that people could live to continue to decline with the patriarchs. Now Abraham lived 175 years. He lived to 175 years. Very low, right? Very low compared to the Genesis 5 years, right? Genesis 25 verse 7. Let's see that. Genesis 25 verse 7. It says, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. So this was seen as a good old age. Do you see that? Quite interesting. 175 years. You see that Isaac, his son, lived to 180 years. Okay, just 5 years above his father's. 180 years. Okay, that is Genesis 35 verse 28. Genesis 35 verse 28. It says, now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now Jacob, Isaac's son, lived to 147 years. Okay, it was 130 years when he arrived Egypt. Remember that story? During the famine, so he and his family went down to Egypt. Genesis chapter 47 verse 9. Let's see that. Genesis 47:9. It says, and Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Underline that, 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Do you see that? Okay, and then he spent 17 years in Egypt before his death. So what do we have? 130 plus 17. That's how many? 147, right? You see that in Genesis chapter 47, verse 28. Genesis 47, verse 28. It says, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. You see that? Okay, plus the 130 years. Do you get it? Okay, so the length of Jacob's life was 147 years when the time drew near that Israel, or Jacob, remember? His name was changed, right? Okay, must die. Okay, so you don't go and say Israel must die. Do you get it? Okay, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now, if I found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial ground. And he said, I will do as you said. Do you see that? Now, Genesis chapter 49 records his death after he blessed his sons. Okay, Genesis 49 verse 33. Genesis 49:33 says, and when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. So we find a reduction in years with Jacob again, right? Now, even further with Joseph. Joseph lived to 110 years. Genesis chapter 50 verse 22. Genesis 50 verse 22 says, so Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Verse 26 of that same chapter, it says, so Joseph died being 110 years, and they bound him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. They made him a mummy. Do you get it? You know, he was in Egypt. Oh, you don't get it. Okay, it's fine. All right, so the years keep reducing. Do you see that? On and on, till about 80 years. Are you following this? Look at Psalm 90 verse 10. Psalm 90 verse 10. Now, I want you to see this, okay? Psalm 90 verse 10. It says, the days of our lives are 70 years. What? Do you see that? 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. So that is the best we can do. Yet, their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. You see that? Online, it's soon cut off, and we fly away. So, it seems like the more sin we find in the world, the more pronounced death becomes. Do you see that so far? So, man is tending to nothing. Okay? He is perishing. His lifespan is reducing drastically. Today, life expectancy in the world is about 72 years. Think about that. 72 years. You know, that is a major decline from Genesis chapter 5. Right? So, one thing is certain. This is the point. One thing is certain. You are aging. Is that clear? You are aging. Every single one of you here, you are aging and you won't live forever. Alright? Death is imminent. Your time on earth is limited. This is why you are to serve God while you still can. Do you follow that? Live your years with purpose. That is what Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says, remember your cradle in the days of your youth. Do you get it now? Before the difficult days come. So, serve the Lord while you still have strength. While you still can. Because someday all that strength will be gone. That is what Solomon is saying there. Do you follow this? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Look at Lamentations 3 verse 27. Lamentations 3 verse 27. It says, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Do you see that? It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Everything you need to do for God, do now. Are you following this? While you still can. A Christian must not waste his years. Do you follow that? A Christian must not waste his years. Look at Psalm 90 verse 12. Popular Psalm. Psalm 90 verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days. Do you see that? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Each day must be numbered. Are you following this? Each day must be numbered. Treated as though it were your last. That way you will use it wisely. You know, many young people today waste their lives because they think they still have time. You see that there are some who have refused to serve God with their youth, claiming they are too young. Okay, you find Christians who say things like, let me get a little bit older first, then I'll be much more serious with the things of God. But when you read through scripture, you find that most of the Lord's prophets were young men. Hallelujah. Young men. Many of them were teenagers and youths. Let's run through that quickly. You see that Joseph started hearing from the Lord as a teenager. Amen. Joseph. Look at Genesis chapter 37 verse 5. Genesis chapter 37 verse 5. It says, now Joseph had a dream. Underline that. Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. And he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sieves in the field. Then behold, my sieve arose and stood upright. And indeed your sieves stood all around and bowed down to my sieve. Look at verse 9 of that same chapter. Then he dreamed still another dream. Underline that. He dreamed still another dream and took it to his brothers. So this guy, he talks a lot and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. Okay, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So, daddy, mommy, and all of you. Do you get it? Okay, now these dreams were actually revelations from the Lord. Okay, concerning the future. Do you see that? So, Joseph had what we can call the word of wisdom. Do you get it? Revelation from the Lord concerning the future. And Joseph received these dreams at the age of 17. Verse 2 tells us that at the age of 17, not only Joseph, you see that Samuel also started serving at Shiloh as a child. Let's see that. 1 Samuel 2 verse 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child. Underline that. Even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Historically, we are told that he was 11 years old when he began this work. not only Samuel, King David as well. King David was anointed as king in his youth. You know that King David was the youngest of his brothers, right? Around 20 years at that time. 1 Samuel 16 verse 11. Let's see that as well. 1 Samuel 16 verse 11. It says, "And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest." Underline that, the youngest. Now that is David. "And there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one." You see that? 13 says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." You see that? Prophet Jeremiah began his ministry as a youth. Okay? Prophet Jeremiah, he began his ministry as a youth. Look at Jeremiah 1:4. I want to see this, okay? Please turn your Bible there. Jeremiah 1:4. I'll wait for you, okay? Jeremiah 1:4. Are you there? Okay. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now look at 6. "Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." You see that? "For I am a youth." Underline that. You know, the same excuse that many give today, right? Look at 7. Verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth." Come on, come on, underline that, okay? "Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces." Come on, underline that, okay? "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Now, Jeremiah was about 17 years when he received commission from the Lord. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was found in the temple at the age of 12, engaging teachers of the law. Our Lord, engaging teachers of the law. Luke chapter 2, verse 42. Let's see that as well. Luke 2, verse 42. It says, "And when he there being our Lord Jesus Christ, was 12 years old," underline from when to old, "they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast." Verse 46. "Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple." So you know there was a little bit of home alone situation. Amen. They all went and then they left the child back. So they found Jesus much later in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Now verse 47. "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." Come on, see that? Online from astonished to answers. So that's Jesus. He's found doing the Father's work, going about the Father's business at a tender age. Timothy began pastoring at Ephesus as a teenager. Are you following this? As a teenager, we are told 18 years historically, at the age of 18. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3. Let's see that as well. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3. It says, "As I urged you." Now that's Timothy. Paul is speaking here. It says, "When I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus." Underline that. Remain in Ephesus. "That you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Underline remain in Ephesus. Okay. So he's appointed by Paul as bishop over the churches at Ephesus. Do you see that? At the age of 18, we are told historically. So age is not a barrier. Do you see that so far? Age is not a barrier to serving the Lord. In fact, God wants you to use your youth to glorify Him. Amen. So consecrate yourself to the service of the Lord now, while you still can. Are you following this? While you still can. Because a time is coming when strength will fail you. Are you here, guys? When strength will fail you. Look at Isaiah 40 verse 30. Isaiah 40 verse 30. It says, "Even the youth shall faint." Come on. Underline that. The youth shall faint and be weary. Underline that. Be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Underline that. The young men shall utterly fall. So it's only a matter of time. You will age. Do you get it? It is only a matter of time. All that muscle will sag. Amen. Say pack six, right? Everything will sag. Are you following this? All that beauty will depreciate. So you won't stay young forever. Stop thinking you have all the time in the world. You don't. Are you following this? Okay, men will definitely grow old and die. That is unchanging destiny. Okay, look at Isaiah 46. I want you to see this, okay? Isaiah 46, it says, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? Now let's say it together. All flesh is grass. Do you see that? Underline that, okay? All flesh is grass. Let's say that together. All flesh is grass. Let's say it one more time. All flesh is grass. Do you see that? And all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. What does that mean? Underline like the flower of the field. Verse 7 explains. It says, the grass withers. Do you get it? All flesh is grass because the grass withers. Do you get it? The flower fades. Are you following that? Underline the flower fades. Underline the grass withers because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. See, the people are grass. See, the people are grass. Underline that. Surely the people are grass. 8. The grass withers. The flower fades. Underline from that to fades. But the word of our God stands forever. So men like grass will dry up and wither away. Do you see that in Isaiah 40? Look at Psalm 103 verse 15. Psalm 103 verse 15. It says, as for man, his days are like grass. You see that again? His days are like grass. Underline that, okay? As the flower of the field, so it flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. Underline that. And it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. James, in his epistle, warns the rich. Okay? James, in his epistle, warns the rich not to boast in their riches, because they will one day fade away. All their riches cannot guarantee a long life. Do you follow that? Look at James 1:9. James chapter 1 verse 9. It says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. Do you see that? Unlike from us to away, for no longer as the sun risen with a burning heat, than it withers the grass. Underline that. It withers the grass. You know, James got this from Isaiah 40, right? Its flower falls. Underline that. Its flower falls. Underline, it withers the grass, and its beautiful appearance perishes. Underline that. Its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man. Do you get it? So the rich man. Underline that. Also, do you get it? Will fade away. Underline that. Will fade away in his pursuits. So senescence is inevitable. Do you get it? It is inevitable for both rich and poor. Man's existence is limited on this earth. Highly limited. Are you following this? Look at how the psalmist says this in Psalm 39, verse 5. Now, I want you to turn your Bible there as well, okay? These texts are very important. I want you to see them. Psalm 39, verse 5. It says, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths. Underline as handbreadths. Now that is the breadth of four fingers. You follow that? Look up. Look at this. From here to here. Those are handbreadths. Okay, the breadth of four fingers. That is very short. Do you get it? You have made my days as handbreadths. Very short. And my age is as nothing before you. Now look at this. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Guys, are you seeing this? Every man at his best state, the very best, is but vapor. How many of you have sprayed perfume before? See how easily it evaporates? Do you get it? That's what he's saying there. Okay? Quickly evaporated. It quickly ceases to exist. Vanity. Every man at his best state is but vapor. Selah 6. Surely every man who walks about like a shadow, surely, now look at this, they busy themselves in vain, he heaps up riches, underline that, he heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. So you see that many times after pursuing wealth, men don't get to enjoy it. That's what verse 6 is saying. Others enjoy it in their stead. So that is why the Christian must not waste his useful years. Okay? His useful years. Put that in capital letters. Pursuing vanities. Number your days. What did I say? Number your days. What did I say, guys? Number your days. Old age is fast approaching. Do not waste your useful years. You know some years are no longer useful. Do you know that? We are coming to that shortly. So do not waste your useful years. Old age is fast approaching. Now let me show you what old age looks like. Okay? I want to paint a picture in your mind. I want to show you from the Bible, okay? What old age looks like. Now first of all, old age affects eyesight. Are you following this? Eyesight. In old age, the eyes get dimmer. Okay? 1 Samuel 4 verse 15. Please turn your Bible there. I want to see this. 1 Samuel 4 verse 15. It says Eli was 98 years old. Is that old? Kind of, right? Okay. And his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Come on. Do you see that? His eyes were so dim that he could not see. So what does this mean? This means that one day, you know, you look at your Bible and you won't be able to see or read the letters in your Bible very clearly anymore. Are you following this? That will come with old age. So why not study well now? Do you follow my point? Why not study well now while you still can? Do you get it? Come on, do you get it? Okay, not only that, in old age, the body can no longer keep itself warm. Okay, this is called thermoregulation in biology. Okay, whereby the body keeps itself warm. Alright, now the body loses that ability gradually to conserve heat with age. You see that King David needed a maid to keep him warm in his old age. 1 Kings 1 verse 1. I want you to see this as well, okay? 1 Kings 1 1. Please turn your Bible there. 1 Kings 1 1. It says, now King David was old, advanced in years. Underline old, advanced in years. And look at this. And they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Do you see that? He could not get warm. So he lost that ability with old age. Now look at 2. Therefore, a servant said to him, let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our Lord the King, and let her stand before the King, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, that our Lord the King may be warm. Do you see that? Underline that, that our Lord the King may be warm. So they sought a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the King. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the King and served him, but the King did not know her. So what will happen here? This lady would lie next to King David. Okay? Then heat would radiate from her body to his. Do you get it? To keep him warm. Now compare this David with that David who fought battles in his youth. Do you notice the difference? Come on. Look at 1 Samuel 18 verse 13. That's why I told you they are useful years. Guys, are you following what I'm saying to you? They are useful years. Useful. Look at 1 Samuel 18 verse 13. It says, therefore, Saul removed him, that is David, from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out. The same David. Do you see that? Underline that he went out and came in. Underline, came in before the people. So he was strong. Come on. Agile, he was winning wars, battles, he was captain over the king's soldiers, right? But something had changed about him. When we get to 1 Kings 1, what is that? Age. Are you following this? Age. You see that Jacob had to lean on his staff in his old age. Jacob the patriarch had to lean on his staff in his old age. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 21. Hebrews 11 verse 21, it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Underline that, from leaning to staff. Now compare this with that Jacob who worked for 14 years for Laban. Do you remember that story? For Rachel's hand in marriage, right? Genesis 29, 20 to 30. Then they gave him the wrong person, right? What I ordered versus what I got, right? He had to work again another 7 years. Do you see that? He worked 14 years. For Barry, do you get it? But look at this same Jacob. Now he's leaning on his staff. Come on. So something had changed about him. Do you see that? He was now old. So that means one day you will try to rejoice in church. You go, glory! And you hear on your back. So why not rejoice now while you still can? Are you following this? So beauty will fade away. The skin will wrinkle. Look at Proverbs 31 verse 30. Proverbs 31 verse 30. It says, charm is deceitful. Amen. Charm is deceitful. And beauty is passing. Underline that. Beauty is passing. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Okay. Aging also affects sexuality. Okay. Aging also affects sexuality. With old age comes an inability to reproduce. You see that in Genesis chapter 18, when the angels told Sarah that she would conceive, she laughed. Right? Look at Genesis 18 verse 9. Let's see that. Genesis 18 verse 9. It says, then they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? So he said, here in the tent. So he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. You see that? Okay, now Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. Underline that. Were old. Well advanced in years. Underline advanced in years. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Underline that. Passed the age of childbearing. Now observe how they are described, right? So naturally, what the angels said was impossible. Do you see that in verse 11? They were old, advanced in age, past the age of childbearing. Hence Sarah's reaction. Verse 12. It says, therefore, Sarah laughed. You see that? Underline that. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, underline that, I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Underline that, my Lord being old also. So why did she disbelieve the angels? Because she knew that she and her husband were old. Do you get it? Old, past the years of childbearing. The Bible speaks of something called the manner of women. Are you following that? The manner of women, that is the menstrual cycle. That is euphemism when you say something rash in a mild way. Okay, look at Genesis 31 verse 35 for that. Genesis 31 verse 35. It says, and she said to her father, let it not displease my Lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me. Do you see that? The manner of women is with me. Underline the manner of women. So he searched but did not find the household idols. So you see the manner of women mentioned, right? Now this stops in women once they reach a certain age, right? Am I right? The age of menopause. And childbirth becomes impossible. So Sarah knew this. That is why she laughed. She was looking at things biologically. Do you get it? Biologically. So it will take a miracle to cause that to happen. Okay? Now we'll look at miracles in this area shortly. Okay? Miracles can happen in this area. We'll look at that shortly. Okay? Now, the law of Moses also recognized old age. The law of Moses also recognized old age. At the age of 50, all Levites were required to retire. At the age of 50. Okay, look at Numbers 8 verse 23. Numbers 8 verse 23. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting, but at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work. Do you see that? Unless from art to work, and shall work no more. Underline that, work no more. They may minister with the brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to the needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Underline that, shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding to their duties. Do you see that? So the age limit for Levites was 25 to 50 years. The law recognized that at old age comes an inability to perform well. Hence this rule. Do you follow that? So the law of Moses says, at the age of 50, let all the Levites retire. They can begin at the age of 25. Do you get it? They end by 50. Because at old age comes an inability to perform well. So old age changes the human body drastically. Do you see that now? Okay, all men are like grass. All men, they will wither away. Are you following that? They will wither away gradually. Now, what about Caleb? Some will ask. Caleb. And you know that Caleb was old yet agile. Let's see that. Look at Joshua 14 verse 10. Okay? Joshua 14 verse 10. Now, I want you to see this, okay? Please turn about with it as well. Joshua 14, 10. Now, Caleb speaks here. Verse 10. It says, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. Do you see that? 85 years old. Underline that. 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Do you see that? Underline, I am as strong this day. Just as my strength was then, underline that, so now is my strength for war. At 85. Are you seeing that? Underline, from soul to war, both for going out, underline that, going out, and for coming in. Underline that, coming in. So, some have said that this happened by miracle. You follow that? By miracle, that Caleb did not age at all throughout those 45 years. But that might not be the case. Might. Okay? Remember, Caleb was a soldier. Right? A soldier. Now, weak men were not allowed to be soldiers in Israel. Weak men were not allowed to be soldiers in Israel. Before battle, those who were faint-hearted were instructed to go back home. Before battle. Look at Deuteronomy 20 verse 8. Deuteronomy 20 verse 8. It says, the officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Underline, fearful and faint-hearted. Now, this is before war. Do you get it? Let him go and return to his house. Do you see that? Before war. Lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. Do you see that? So, weak men were not allowed to be part of the soldiers in Israel. Is that clear so far? So, what does that tell us? That tells us that Caleb must have been physically built, right? Physically built to carry out that task of a soldier. Are you following this? You know, as a warrior, he must have walked out, right? Ate well. So he was still agile even in his old age. Do you get it now? So, you know, don't stay on your bed all day pressing phone. Gen Z generation. Amen. Pressing phone, eating junks, and be claiming Caleb's blessing. You know, some Christians are funny, very funny. You're on Instagram for 5 hours on your phone, YouTube. Okay, and you say, I have Caleb's blessing. The man was a warrior. Do you get it? Walking out. So if you want to be like Caleb, amen, at an old age, you want to be strong, right? Healthy, in your old age, start taking care of your body now. Do you follow that? Exercise, cut down on carbs, okay, junks. So that was what Caleb did. So he was an healthy old man. Do you get it now? He's still old though, but he was an healthy old man. So that is what he's referring to there, okay? All right, not a miracle. Now, can God work a miracle on our bodies to fight against old age? Yes. Now, what can't he do? He can't stop you from aging. Get that? You follow what I'm saying? God can't stop you from aging, but he can delay it. Praise the Lord. Okay, he can delay it. He can make your organs function better. Praise the Lord. God can make your organs function better than your age demands. Like with Sarah and Abraham, right? Who could still conceive at an old age. So he can pull like a band-aid. You know what that is? Like a band-aid, supernatural band-aid, temporarily on your body. Praise the Lord. So it won't tire out fast. But eventually, you will grow old and die. Is that clear? Everyone does. No exceptions. You see that even saved men, amen, saved men, we are not exempted from this. We receive immortality not now but at the resurrection. Amen. Paul speaks of us receiving a new body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47. It says, the first man was of the earth. Who is that? Adam, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Who is that? Jesus the Christ. Okay? As was the man of dust, Adam, so also are those who are made of dust, his children. And as is the heavenly man, Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. Hallelujah. That is you and I. On the line from soul to heavenly, he's speaking of bodies here. Do you get it? 49 says, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that is his body. Do you get it? You were born with Adam's kind of body. Do you follow that? Frail, mortal, dying, sickly. Do you get it? We shall, future tense, right? Also bear the image of the heavenly man. On line from shall to man. Verse 50 of that same chapter, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Praise the Lord. Underline that, we shall be changed. 53, for this corruption must put on incorruption. Do you see that? Underline from this to incorruption. And this model, this body, this model body must put on immortality. Praise the Lord. Underline from this to immortality. 54, so when, very important, underline that, when this corruptible, that is this body, has put on incorruption, and this model or model body has put on immortality, then, did you just follow that? So when, then, do you follow that? Okay, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Okay, so I like to say there is a shall, when, and then, okay, to immortality. We do not have it yet. Do you follow that? And what I'm saying might be controversial in some quarters, but we do not have eternal life yet. Are you following my point? Okay, I'll explain what I just said subsequent times. Amen. Let me leave that for now. In Romans 8, Paul calls this the redemption of our bodies. Amen. The redemption of our bodies. Let's see that. Romans 8, 23. Are you following this? Romans 8, verse 23. It says, not only that, but we also will have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting. Underline that. Eagerly waiting. What are we eagerly waiting for? For the adoption. You see that? Or better still, the revelation of our adoption bodily. That's what Paul refers to there. The revelation of our adoption bodily. The redemption of our body. Underline that. The redemption of our body. You know, you don't wait for what you already have. Right? But Paul says here, eagerly waiting for. Do you see that? Eagerly waiting for the redemption of our body. So we do not have this redemption of the body already. Okay? We are sons of God, and like our Father, we will enjoy immortality and live forever, but that has not happened yet. Do you follow that? So we eagerly wait. That's what Paul is referring to here, till our bodies are redeemed. What does that mean? Till our bodies are saved from death and decay. That's the redemption there, okay? Our bodies are saved, rescued from death and decay. Now, when will that happen? At the last day. At the end of the age. We'll receive a brand new body. Amen. You know, this new body will never age. Amen. It will never fall sick. Amen. It will never grow old. Amen. Okay, so we are saved with this hope. Alright? We we are saved with this hope that we will one day be raised never to die again. Amen. But what about the here and now? Alright? Very important. The here and now. Right now. For now, the body will age. The body will die. Are you following this? So what should you do? Amen. What should you do knowing that you won't be on this earth forever? Knowing that someday your body won't be able to perform as well as it does now. Remember I told you they are useful years, right? So a time is coming when your body won't be able to perform as well as it does now. So what should you do right now? Serve God while you still can. Are you following this? While you still can. Don't waste time. Do not waste your youth. Are you listening to me? Do not waste your youth. Paul tells Christians, redeem the time. Ephesians 5 verse 15. Let's see that. Redeem the time. Ephesians 5 verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Underline that. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools. What do fools do? They waste time. Do you get it? Underline, not as fools, but as wise. Some wise. Okay, what do the wise do? Verse 16, redeeming the time. Do you get it? Underline that, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish with your time. See, I'm not foolish with my time. Okay, time is too limited to be foolish with it. How do I redeem my time? Simple, by using it for the things that matter. That's how you redeem your time. You use it for those things that matter. Because once you're gone, you're gone. Are you following this? You're gone. You won't get a second chance to live for Jesus. Think about that. You won't get a second chance to obey God. You won't get a second chance to serve in the gospel. So what should you do? Obey God now. Hallelujah. Do not waste your life. You see, some are using their youth to chase money. You see, for this Gen Z generation, amen, all they want to do, you know, how will somebody's life goal be to get 1 million followers on Instagram? You know, these things baffle me. His life goal is to get 10 million subscribers on his YouTube channel. So he will do anything, he will say anything just to achieve that goal, just to make money, to get fame. Many are using their youth to chase the pleasures of this world. Many are using their youth to chase immorality. Let's just have a good time. Jaye. Amen. Go partying. Go clubbing. Womanizing. Don't you know that none of these things will last forever? Amen. Everything you're pursuing now, none of it will last forever. Look at how Peter says this. 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10. Please turn your Bible there. Okay, I want to see this. 2 Peter 3:10. It says, but the day of the Lord, what is that? The end of the age. You follow that? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, that is unexpectedly, in which the heavens, they are the skies, okay? The heavens will pass away. Underline that. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Underline that. From there to heat, both the earth, underline that, the earth, and the works that are in it will be burned. Come on. You see that? The works that are in it will be burned. Underline from there to up. Okay, will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved. Come on. Everything on the earth, right? Underline that, all these things will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be? See that? Ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness. 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, underline from that to fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Underline from that to heat. So what is Peter saying here? Simple. All those houses, amen, all those cars, all those diplomas, all those, you know, YouTube subscribers that you use your youth to chase instead of God, All of them will be consumed by fervent heat at the end of the age. Are you following this? That job, that car, that race, that bonus at work that you were looking forward to. None of it will pass the test of the end of the age. All of them will be consumed by fervent heat. So what will remain at the end of the age? You and what you did for God. Think about that. That is all that will remain. You and what you did for God. That is all that would matter. So, shouldn't you therefore be wise? Huh? Shouldn't you therefore be wise? Peter says, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Do you get it? Shouldn't you be wise? How shameful would it be that at the end of the age you have nothing to show for all your years on the earth? How shameful. You spend 80 years and you have nothing to show for it. How shameful would it be to have wasted your life on the earth? God will ask you, what did you do for me when you were alive? And you have nothing to say. How shameful would that be? What excuse would you give? You say, God, I did not have time. Then you see Christians who were working 10 jobs to meet their needs and they still serve Jesus. What then would you say? You say, okay, Jesus, I was scared. I didn't want people to laugh at me. Then you see Christians who were burnt at the stake for their faith. Have they burnt you before? They tie you on stick and they burn you alive. You find such Christians. Or what will you say? You say, Jesus, I wanted to make money first before serving you. You know, the gospel needs money. Have you heard some people saying that before? The gospel needs money. Someone even told me, say, I don't want to do ministry. I just want to be a kingdom financier. Let me just be making money and be giving to the church. Or no, do. I want to make money first. Then you see paupers who serve God even in their lack. Look at the early church. There will be your condemnation if you refuse to serve Jesus well. You know, they didn't have much. You know, these men were running from place to place for their lives. Their lives were always in danger. Are you following this? In persecution. Yet they kept on serving Jesus. There will be your condemnation. They will rise up against you in condemnation if you refuse to serve Jesus well. Even in their lack. Even in danger. Even in need. Even in a want. Sleeplessness. Fastings. They serve Jesus. So you won't have any excuse. So why not live with purpose now? Do you get my point? Why not live with purpose now? Why not use your useful years for the Lord? Since now I can pray 10 hours and I won't feel it, why don't I pray 10 hours now? Do you get it? That's how I think. Since right now I can sit down at my desk and I can study God's word for 10 hours at a stretch and I won't feel anything, why don't I do that now while I still can? Are you getting my point? Because the time is coming, just 2 hours on that bench, your back will... So what will you do then? Right now, you know, look at our outreaches, right? Look at how many hours we use. You know, you can do that because you're still very young, right? We'll come together, we'll first of all pray, right? Then we'll go up, we'll reach the Lord for several hours. Why not do that now while you still can? Do you get my point? No, time is coming, you might not be able to walk for 4 hours, 5 hours. So I choose to live with purpose. So I won't waste my useful years. Please say like you mean it all. So I won't waste my useful years. Look at the Apostle Paul as we close. Paul spent the entirety of his life serving in the gospel. Amen. He spent the whole of his life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now observe his final words. This is a man who spent several years, okay, in the ministry of the gospel. Now he's about to die, 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy was his last epistle before his death. Okay? And look at his last words. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Let's read it together. Are you there? 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. It says, I have fought the good fight. Do you see that? Past tense. What a beauty. Praise the Lord. I have. May this be our story. Do you see that? I have. Do you know if I have? Everything he needed me to do, I've done it. Praise the Lord. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have. Underline that again. I have finished the race. Do you see that? I have definitely kept the faith. Underline that. Verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, that is reward. Do you get that? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What day? The end of the age. Okay, underline that. On that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Praise the Lord. So like Paul, God wants all Christians to say, I have. Do you follow that? I have, past tense. I have finished the race. Amen. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith at the end of their lives. I have done all that God wants me to do. Let me rethink that. A beautiful life. Fulfilled life. Will you be that Christian? Rise to your feet. Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Say, Lord, I won't waste my useful years. I'm living with purpose, Lord. Every single day of my life.